crazy, and Amber's already got a couple kids, and her and Dylan. It's just exciting to see what God's done in your life, and I appreciate what they're doing in Papua New Guinea, and the Lord's really using them. But they were teenagers, and one of the things I notice about them and many others is they were on fire for the Lord. My wife and I looked at each other and said, I've never seen young people that were that excited about serving the Lord, and it was really, really a blessing. And then all these years later, it's no surprise. Many of them are on the mission field or pastoring churches or just serving the Lord wherever God's called them. So anyway, I'm going to turn things over to my brother, Brother Wells. It's great to have you here. I love you guys. Thank you for coming. And you go ahead and give to us what God's given to you. And get to know them today, all right? They're going to be here tonight as well. They got a table display back there. And so hang around a little bit and introduce yourselves to them. All right.
All right, well, I can guarantee you that we're not getting out by 12. That is a guarantee. There we go. How's that, guys? I turned it back on. All right. Dream from God. I like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think I had the best chimichanga I've ever had. Yesterday. It was really good. All right. Well, we're going to continue on in Romans chapter 12. I do encourage you, come back tonight. We'll definitely be talking about the ministry and what God's been doing in New Guinea and your investment in New Guinea. I believe it's an investment that you've made in the work there, and we've done our best to make sure that that we are faithful to that investment that you've put in the work there and in us, and we greatly appreciate that. So come back tonight, and we'll show the video, and we may hear from the boys. I may require the boys to say something, but I think you'll enjoy it. And we'll continue in the Word of God tonight as well. All right, we're in Romans chapter 12, and we're talking about submission this morning in Sunday school. We talked about submission and the requirement of submission in Romans chapter 12. We'll start there. Go ahead and turn there, and we'll read that. I want to read it again. I know we read it in Sunday school, but I believe that it's paramount that we keep these verses in front of us as we continue on studying and allowing God to work in our hearts. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. It's reasonable. It's reasonable to give yourself to the Lord. It's reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning in this service. Father in heaven, Lord, please help us. Help us to see what you need us to see. Father, I know there's many needs represented this morning and this afternoon in this room. Many different stages of life, stages of ministry, growth in their Christian life. And Father, we need you to speak to us. Father, help us and encourage us and strengthen us and Father, help us to be willing to recognize where we need to go forward, recognize where we need to take a second look. And Father, help us to submit to you and that we would do as you require. And Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. In your name we pray. Amen. As we looked at in Sunday school, we looked at four kind of key things about the Romans 12, 1 and 2 in regards to submission. We looked at submission being the key to Christian growth, and that is through presenting ourselves a living sacrifice. We looked at renewing our mind and how as we renew our mind through the Word of God, that opens the door for so many other parts of the Christian life. And until we open that door, until we renew our mind in the Word of God, that there's many things that will be closed to us as Christians. There's many parts of the Christian life that will not be available to you because of that. You say, well, that sounds funny. Well, you know, God requires things. Salvation is free. But Christian growth requires something. And moving forward for God requires submission to Him. And He's going to require some things of you. You know, in New Guinea, I'm always making deals with my young people. I love making deals with them. But I can sometimes get in trouble with them because in the beginning, I wasn't maybe as clear in my promises. And so they would try to hold my feet to the fire on something that they thought I promised them. And they didn't hear the if. You know, the if of the promise. If you complete this task, I will X. And they would sometimes forget the if and just require X. And, you know, the God is like that in us. God says, if you're faithful, if there's lots of promises that require input on our part. And if we errantly claim the promises, man, we can run all over the Word of God and we can find all kinds of places where there's promises and blessings that we can errantly grab a hold of and say, oh, this is in the Word of God and it's a promise. Yes, but there's an if. In Pidgin, we say, suppose you behind him like blomi, by you kiss him, displa something. If you do what I've asked you to do, then you will get what the promise is. And we can't forget that. God is not just doling out, you know, he's not a socialist. Does socialism work? Okay. So why do you think it would work in Christianity? Well, that's a good question. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. All right, but that's a different message. We're not going there. Renewing your mind, that opens the door. Transformed is the inward result. Transformed is the inward result, and then perfect will of God is the goal. That's what each one of us should have, is we should have that goal, serving God just the way He would want us to, just exactly as He wants us to. I can tell you for a fact, I am right where God wants me. The jungles of Papua New Guinea is without, there is no doubt in my mind that that's where God wants me to serve. And I hope that you are exactly where God wants you to serve. But you know, you really need to ask yourself that. Are you exactly where you're supposed to be? Now, I will say this. Sometimes we are where we're supposed to be, but we're en route to another place. I remember those years, and Brother Garcia certainly remembers those years at Treasure Valley. 13 years from when I came back from New Guinea as a young man, to when God let me and my wife go back to New Guinea as missionaries. And to say I was unsettled would be an understatement. I did not necessarily want to be there. But I knew that's where I was supposed to be because I had someplace else to go. But I needed to complete this first. And sometimes we're in that transitional stage of our life and in our Christianity. But our goal should always be that perfect will of God. that perfect will of God. Submission is the key to that, and understanding that submission in our Christian life and submission in the Word of God and submission in the church and those things does not look like what the world thinks it looks like. The world has a different mentality, and those things are wrong, and in Christianity, it's different. It is different. And so we looked at the part of submission, and we looked at how what God wants us to do, and we looked at those things in Sunday school. But I just don't want you to forget, or I don't want you to I want you to not only remember but understand that this part of submission is not a. It's not a question mark. It's not a something that we can do it or we can't do it. It's a requirement of the Christian life. And until you figure that thing out, it's just so many other things are just going to be closed. They're going to be closed. And so we talked about it stopping pride, and it asks for permission. When you submit, you'll seek God's will. You'll surrender your will. And it allows God to work. We looked at all those things. I want you to look now at the second part of this. I want you to look at Psalms chapter 127. Psalms 127. And we'll look at the second part of this thing of submission and this thing of the family and how that relates to our Christian life and how that relates to the Great Commission. Psalms chapter 127, and let's start in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Verse 4, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." All right, this section here. Well, no, let's read 5 too. I guess we're going to get there anyways. "Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." All right, this thing about submission and this thing about our Christian life and missions and ministry and the Great Commission and how that's related and how that ties into not only our marriages and not only to how we raise our children, but also when it's in regards to the church and our pastor and all those things. And that's what I want to really touch on this morning, and that's the angle that I want to come from is basically the lost mission of the family. Now, no doubt all of us, no matter what stage of life you're in, some of you are older and your kids are grown and moved on. Some of you are younger and just having kids, and some are about to get married and hopefully have some grandkids soon. Maybe in about 10 or 11 months or so. So you're in different areas of your life. And I believe that this and the Word of God takes account and allowance for that. And I think that's a good thing. But this thing of what is the mission of the family? Why did God give us the family? We just touched so briefly in Sunday school about the institutions and God gave the institution of marriage and of the family. Why did God do that? You know, you go all the way back and you can look at Adam and Eve, and of course, God gave Eve to Adam as a helpmeet, and we can look at all that. But why? Why did God do that? And I believe that there's a purpose, and I don't believe that God does things by accident. Do you believe God does things just? No, He does things for a purpose and for a reason, and there's a plan. And when I look at the family and I look at what the Bible says about the family and how the Bible talks about the verse that we just read in Psalms chapter 127, and you go through and you study children and all of that, children, that's the avenue that God has given us to reproduce ourselves. And as a Christian, serving God, God has given me a way in which not only can I use the Word of God and I can win souls to Christ and I can disciple others, but He's also given me a way where I can have children and disciple them and win them to Christ. And folks, I get those kids nearly 24 hours a day. They're my kids. Now, only one of them's really a kid, but they're still my kids. And from the day they were born, I get them. I get to determine, right, the influences in their life. You say, well, no. As a parent, you get to control that. We live in a free country, right? Well, no laughing. We do. All right? We control that. And as Christians, we have the Word of God that's full of promises. It's full of the ways in which we're to raise our family and raise our children and the ways in which our marriage is supposed to work. Why? So we can just be happy together? I don't think happiness was the goal. I don't believe God just put all these things in place so we could be happy. It's not about your happiness. It's about God trying to get the job done. And He's chosen to use us. He's chosen to use us. Now, I realize that I get a little bit nervous. I love preaching about the family and raising, I love doing it. But I always get nervous because I know that puts a target on my back. Because when you open your mouth about something, and people are going to hold you to it, and I don't mind if you hold me to it, but the devil likes to bring it up too. But you know, if we raise our children to serve God, if each and every one of us, okay, let's just for a minute. Now listen, we can't go back in history today, right? We can't go backwards. We can only go forward. And so what's done in the past is done. Okay. But what we do tomorrow should be what the Bible tells us to do. Okay, we've all made mistakes. We all have things that we would have done differently. Right? Okay, we can't do anything about that. Okay, so I'm not here to beat you up about whatever happened yesterday. But what I do want to do is I don't want to shy away from what we did wrong yesterday, because you know what? There's someone that's going to walk down that path today. So if I made a mistake yesterday in my marriage and with raising my kids, if I made that mistake and I just kind of hide it and cover it up and I don't want to look bad. Does that help the guy following behind? Does that help the next person? Does that help the young couple trying to raise their kids right? It doesn't help them. Now, I realize that some of the things I'm going to say may hurt some of you, and that's not my goal to hurt. My goal is to help those that are coming behind us. so they don't make some of the same mistakes we did or that our parents did. And so that's the mentality that I'm coming from. We can't shy away from the truth because it might hurt. And we can't cover up the truth because maybe it hurts us. We need to expose wrong so we can do right. And so those coming and following in our footsteps, you know, we don't want to cover up the pit that we just fell in. Because there's someone, there's the ones coming behind us, we don't want them to fall in the same pit. So we got to expose it and say, look out, I just broke my leg. Don't break your leg in this hole. Put a signboard, don't do this. Okay, are we all right with that? Okay. When I read, as I read through many books, great men of God, one of the ones that really stands out to me when I was younger and when Kirsten and I first got married and were looking to start raising a family, I remember I was reading the story of David Livingstone in Africa, of course, traveling all across that country and winning souls to Christ and medical and all the things that he did. And I remember reading that story thinking, what a great man. But then at the end of the book, there were some little notes in there about his wife and his kids. And if you go back and you look at that and you look at David Livingstone and you look at his family, and I dare say that David Livingstone lost his family. His children wanted nothing to do with the ministry. They wanted, his wife didn't want to be in Africa. I don't know all the details of that history, but from what I've read and what I've seen, whatever God gave to David Livingstone, he somehow was not able to impart it to his family. And he lost his family. And I looked at that and I thought, as I judged that in my mind, and I thought, man, he did a great work for God, but he lost his own family. And now there's two sides to this, all right? There's losing your family because of neglect and dereliction of duty. That's one thing. Okay, there's another side where your family just, maybe your children or your wife or whatever the case may be, they just make some bad decisions and leave. Okay, those are two separate things. And I don't know exactly on all these things how all that happened with David Livingstone, but I read that and that broke my heart. And so I began looking at some other men of God. And I began looking in history and I started looking even in the Word of God. And I saw some men that did some great things, but somehow it didn't translate down to their kids. And I began studying and looking, is this just an acceptable thing? Does my dad have to be the great missionary? You know, because my dad was a great missionary for 23 years in New Guinea. And does it end there? Do I have no chance? Or can it continue? And is that just by chance that happens? Or can I do something about that? Do you see where I'm going? Are you with me? You guys are looking really quiet on me. Look at verse 1 of Psalms 127. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. Now we can say that's a building. We can say that's, you know, studs and walls and sheetrock. Or we could say that's a family. The rest of the chapter is talking about a family, not four walls and a roof. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This tells me that verse number 3 talks about children. So verse number 1 talks about God's got to do this. God must build the family. That means that it has to be built on biblical principles, not on the world's principles. If our children have a chance to serve God, it has to be built on biblical principles. Now I understand, you know, I have the privilege of my 3 sons sitting here, and you know what? Any 3 of them could go off their rocker tomorrow. That's their decision. But the only chance they have is if I instill in them what God's given me out of the Word of God. It's the only chance they have. Except the Lord keep the city. The Lord's got to build it, and then the Lord's got to keep it. You know, the only way you're going to get God to build your family, and the only way that God's going to be able to keep your family and keep that city, is if you're in submission to Him. And we get so arrogant and so full of ourselves and in our religion and in our Christianity that we think it's us. And it's not us. It's God. And until we can figure out that the family and our marriage and our church is all about God holding it and keeping it together. And you know, science can try to tell us about this and that, about how the world and planets all spin together, but their explanation is lame. God holds it together. And that's the only way that this is going to work in our family, and that's the only way it's going to work in your marriage, and the only way it's going to work in the church is if God holds it together. And the only way that we can hold that the only way that God will hold it together is if we, the church members, the dads, the moms, the children, are in submission to Him. Amen. And if we're not, it's going to fly apart. And we're going to say, what happened? Well, it's because at some point there's lack of submission. You say, well, no, that's what the Bible says. Right. That's what the Bible says. Well, you know that. Well, I'm sorry, but your opinion doesn't count. It's what the Bible says. Great men have done great things for God and lost their families to the world. Folks, this is not acceptable. This should not be acceptable. If you have young children here today, that should not be an acceptable thing. As Christians, we, as fathers, we've got to do right by our family first. Because the family is the training ground for the Christian life. As go the family, will go the church. Right? As go the church, goes the community. As the community goes, so does the country. And because we believe in worldwide evangelism, so does the world. So as we look at the state in which the world is in today, all we have to do is look at our family and say, that's why. You say, well, that's kind of a stretch. Let's look and see how much of a stretch it is. You guys remember a guy named Abraham? He's in the Bible, in Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Great man of faith. Did he make any bad decisions? God showed us those decisions. He made a bad decision, and because of this bad decision, there's this guy named Ishmael. No ramifications today. Today, the payment for that is still being paid, for that bad decision. We look at Eli. Eli was unwilling to restrain his sons. They brought shame on Israel. Solomon and his wives, David's lack of submission brought judgment on the nation of Israel. Samson, God put these are great men. These are heroes. Samson, he's in the Hall of Fame. God showed us those decisions and their ramifications of their decisions so that we would open our eyes and not fall into the same pit. But yet some of us, we use these excuses of, and I heard this one time, they turned out okay, so it's okay. God loved them and God loved Abraham and gave him great blessings, so, I can make a few mistakes too, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Do you think Abraham's looking at those decisions and thinking, yeah, that was worth it? As Israel is bombed today, I don't think it was worth it. And whatever decision is facing you, it's not worth it either. And it takes that submission to God and recognition that you know what? I got to submit to God. Some of you are grandparents here. Folks, I can tell you, it's wonderful to have godly grandparents in my children's life. You say, those decisions, the water is under the bridge on that. Yes, but you can be a great godly grandparent for those grandkids. Just because you made a mistake in the past doesn't mean you need to continue making it. Sometimes we get caught in these kind of decisions. We make a mistake and we think, I've already done this, so I just keep walking down this path. No, stop. Turn around. Amen. You know, you're driving in your car and the car keeps saying, recalculating. Right? You know what I'm talking about? That's what the Bible's trying to tell you. Recalculate. You need to turn around. It's not going where you think it's going. You're not going to get there. Lot, he lost his family. Hezekiah, Isaac, favoritism. Oh. Now we can talk about my mistakes, but I don't want to talk about those. I want to talk about other people's. God showed us their humanity so we could learn from them, not make excuses because of them. Folks, we're never going to be perfect. Our marriages will never be perfect. Our children will never be perfect. But the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I believe that's a promise. And if some of you have kids that are out today, and you say, what happened? Well, I don't know what happened. But I do know that there's some promises in the Word of God that give us hope. And it's not too late. You say, it's not too late. But you need to be in the right place. You need to be in the right place for them to come back to. You need to be in the right place doing the right thing. You need to continue to be that example for them. You need to continue to pray for them. You need to continue on with what's right. You see, because we've got a job to do. We've got a job to do in the ministry. We've got a job to do in our community and in our church. And we have a job of getting the gospel out. And God has given us these children that can be a great asset to the cause of Christ. Or they can be a great detriment. And I think that's part of the problem today is And as I traveled around on deputation with my mom and dad in the 90s, I was just a young guy. And we went to all these churches. And there's a city and a group of about five or six churches in a certain place. And I remember going to those churches, and those churches were on fire. I remember pulling away from those as a family. We'd talk about the church, brother. We'd always talk about the church, you know, and the pastor. And good things, of course, you know, all the good things about the church. And I remember leaving those four or five churches thinking, man, those places are on fire. 2008, 2010, I came around 20-something years later to the same churches. And four in particular were well over 400 people, 300 people, just thriving ministries when I came with my family on deputation. One of them, they had three people, and they were meeting in a back room on Sunday night. And I asked the pastor, what happened? What happened? He says, we lost our families. We lost our kids. We shouldn't have to lose our kids. We shouldn't have to, we shouldn't have the same problem that the world has. The world has divorce, and the world has all those problems. We have the Holy Spirit of God. If we're submitted to our biblical authority, we're submitted to our pastoral authority, and we're submitted to what God would have us to do, those shouldn't be problems. You say, yeah, but there is. Yes, because we're not submitted. And what I'm trying to challenge you this morning, that we don't have to have the same world, the problems as the world, because the world is wrong. And when we bring in their mentality about money, you know what? We're going to have a problem. When we bring in their mentality about raising kids, we're going to have a problem. When we bring in their mentality about education, we bring in their mentality about sports, we're going to have a problem. Now, I love sports. Me and Brother Garcia, we love sports. But that's way far down on the list. We can't have the same mentality as the world. The world is wrong, and they're going to hell. We have the Word of God that's right, that gives us every answer. And if we submit to it, we don't have to have those problems. There's no, in the Christian life, there's no magic pill. There's no message that you're going to just get a hold of and it's going to be like, I'm fixed. Because it's a lot of hard work, right? If you work in construction, you don't just show up to the job and be like, and just kind of walk around and studs build themselves and turn into walls. And it doesn't happen that way. You got to go cut the band on the bunk of two bys, and you got to carry them over and lay it out and hammer the nails or shoot the gun and stand them up. You got to do the job. And it's the same thing in our Christian life. We've got to do it. We got to put in the time and the effort and the pain and the practice. And if we don't, then our church and our family and our marriage is going to look like it. It's going to look like the time we put into it. And it's going to look like the world. You say, Chad, you're kind of talking in... Well, I'm just trying to get you to the right mentality here. Because there's no magic words I can say to get you there. You got to submit to God. You got to submit to what the Bible says. When you come in with a problem and you come talk to Pastor Garcia and say, Pastor Garcia, we're having this problem. And he says, well, have you read your Bible this week? And you're like, well, no, we're trying to solve this problem. There's not much you can do for him. If they're not submit, if they're Christians and they're not submitted to their Bible, All you can do is give them vain philosophy. And you know what? The world has that already, and it doesn't work. That's why the world is in the shape it's in. That's why God gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. And that's why he gave us the word of God. And that's why he saved us, so we can take that Bible and that good news and take it to them. Because what they have doesn't work. Their education system doesn't work. Their mentality doesn't work. Pretty much anything that the world does, just do the opposite. You'll probably be better off. You say, well, this is the American way to do this. Well, it's wrong. Someone was giving me grief not too long ago about my boys still living at home, 26, 24, and 22. Well, wow, they're still living at home. What a bunch of slackers. You try to keep up with them. I challenge you. Well, don't they need to go to college, and don't they need this and that and get out on their own? And it's like, oh, there's this little Bible verse that says, leave and cleave. You ever read that verse? Oh, well, yeah, well, you know, that was back then. Really? Well, they need to get out and, you know, experience life. And okay, let me just throw this out there. So what you're telling me is that any of us that are over 40, right, we know that most people under 20, for certain, their brains haven't clicked on yet. Is that wrong to say? Are any of you under 20, would you disagree with that? Then it's off. See? That proves my point. So you want me to let a 20-year-old loose in the world? Send them to college or send them to... I just put 20 years of teaching them the Word of God and training, and then you just want me to just send them out? Really? Would you do anything else? Would you do that with any other valuable that you have? Just throw it out to the world and let them do what they will with it? I think Lot did that. How'd that turn out for him? Not too good. You say, Chad, well, you don't have to understand, as an American, I don't care about Americans. You're a Christian. That means the Word of God should have precedence over Americanism. I told you wouldn't like some of this. Well, yeah, but they need to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's in my house. God gave them to me to grow them in the Word of God. You say, well, man, how do you have three men in the house and isn't there tension? No, there's not actually. You say, well, yeah, you're just saying that. But Brother Garcia knows there's not. Why? Because they're submitted to God. And to me, most of the time. No, they are. They're good boys. But we can have that kind of thing if we decide that the Bible's right. And that's the key that I'm trying to get you to that point. You've got to change the way you think. All things become new. That means the world is wrong and they don't know what they're doing. So just throw that away. Now read your Bible and do what the Bible says. And you know what? The world's going to look at you and go, ah, you're crazy. And you're going to say, you know what? But I'm going to die and go to heaven. And you're not. So what I have is right. That means what I have looks different than what the world is. God gave us those children. What is that last verse? It talks about as arrows that you shoot out. And what greater thing? In a few weeks, Derek gets to get married. And then in sometime in the near future after that, they're going to come to New Guinea as missionaries. I don't know. You know, to me, doctor, lawyer, engineer, millionaire, president, all those would be a drastic step down, if my Bible's right. You say, well, he doesn't even have any money. That's true, he doesn't. Because he's been working for me for 10 years for free. But he hasn't, he's been working for the Lord. Right. Well, what kind of start is that going to be? I don't know, but I know the Bible's right. And I'd much rather God have to figure that out than any other way. You say, well, that seems really different than the world. Because I want a different result. And if I want a different result from the world, I'm going to have to do some things different. And I don't even have to guess. Because I got this book. That gives me everything I need to do. It's got all the answers. It says, just submit. Submit. So, well, it's too late. No, it's never too late. If you're dead, then it's too late. But if since none of you are dead, at least since handshaking, it's not too late. We can make a change today. You say, well, I didn't raise my kids that way. That's okay. It is what it is. But from here, we can go forward in a different way. We can go forward in a way of encouraging our children. We can go forward in a way of encouraging the other young people in this room. For them to do right. You know, some of them may not have good godly grandparents to encourage them in the Bible way. Maybe you can be that influence. Maybe you can be that help. You can be that encouragement. Say, well, I've got this and it's, my heart is broken because of this. A lot of my friends that Brother Garcia was talking about that we grew up in the youth group with, man, they didn't do right. Some of them had good parents that raised them right. And I believe someday they're going to come back because that's the promise. And that breaks my heart. But I still got to go forward with what the Word of God says. And so do you. Amen. Unless you want the same result. You see, because if the Lord doesn't come back in 25 years or in 30 years, half of us will probably be dead. And what does that next generation look like? If we can make some changes today. You say, oh, but I've got teenagers. That's going to be hard for me to change. That's all right. Submit to what God does. Submit to what God has said in His Word. We know how to raise our children the biblical way. We know. We've been taught. We've read it. We just don't believe it. Because the world has too much influence on us. So just cut that off. Say, God, starting today, You show me in that Bible, I'm going to do it. Even if it flies in the face of everything the world says and believes, I'm going to do it because Your Bible says to do it. Things will be different. And in 25 years, this church will look different because of that decision. Your family and the families to come will look different than they look today and how they looked yesterday. When you submit to God. You say, well, what's the nuts and bolts of that? You already know the nuts and bolts. You already know those things. The problem is not the nuts and bolts and how to do it. The problem is submitting and trusting that God knows what He's talking about. He spun the world and the universe into existence. And He's holding it together. I think He can do something with your family. I think He can do something with your marriage if you submit to Him. Or you can just say, well, He doesn't know what He's talking about. I don't. You're right. But the Bible does. So you don't have to listen to me. Just listen to the Bible. We read the verses. let the next generation of kids have something more than what we had. Our Christianity, our spirituality should be getting better, not worse. You know, we look at politics, and you look at, well, wow, what a great win for the Republican Party and conservatives. Well, if you go back 25 years, all those so-called conservatives today that voted, they would barely make it as Democrats. Because we've all slipped closer and closer. Let's not slip to the world, Christian. Let's separate ourselves from the world. Do right so that we can get the gospel out. And so that our children can get the gospel out. And so our grandchildren can get the gospel out. And if the Lord tarry further. But it's going to take you today under full submission. Under full submission. Not only to God, but to the Word of God and what it says. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Folks, I know that maybe you say, I don't know about this and that. And at the end of the day, it's just about submission. It's just about submission. Well, I know we can make all kinds of excuses. I've made lots of them in the past too. But at the end of the day, are you going to submit to what the Word of God says? Or are you just going to do what the world says to do? That's the decision that I hope is sitting before you right now. Am I going to follow what the Word of God says? Or am I going to continue mixing and matching what I want? Father in heaven, Lord. Father, we are so... we're so mixed up. And Father, the world has such a great pull and it looks so good. And Father, even sometimes it makes sense. But Father, we know that it's wrong. And the Word of God says so. So Father, help us to throw what the world would think is logical thought and help us to trust you. Father, I know that maybe I said some things that I hope weren't hurtful, but were real. That would help us to do something different tomorrow. And Father, I pray that it was the right thing and that you would work in the hearts of all of us this morning. In your name we pray. Pastor.